Let us pray. Father God, as we look at your word this morning, I pray that we'll inspire our hearts and our minds. In your name, amen. Please do take a seat. Now, I hate to be the one that's heralding the fake news situation in the church, but if you were expecting this morning to go through the series on the Ten Commandments, I think that's just what our children, young people are doing. This morning, we're following the lectionary, and we'll be doing that over the next few weeks. So sorry if you were looking for a bit of a revision section on that. We're doing the traditional Easter readings at the moment. And actually what I'm looking at this morning is, what does it mean to be fully alive? Yesterday, I went to a wedding of a friend of mine. We've been friends for a number of years. We met in my last church, and she was a social worker. Our friendship really kind of took off when we went to South Africa. For our church weekend away, instead of doing like a Leighton Hall type of thing, we spent 10 days in South Africa working with AIDS orphans and things like that. And then in the evening, we would go out for dinner. So yeah, if you think Leighton Hall is roughing it, I can tell you, I've been in a worse situation. So therefore, we would go out, and anyway, we'd go out in the evening, we'd have dinner, and got to know each other a little bit more. And one of the questions that we would ask over dinner is, what we're seeing here day to day, with the poverty, with serving people as we are serving them, what is that challenging us on? What is that going to affect our lives when we go back to the UK? And for my friend, what that has ended up doing a few years down the line is she is now a missionary in Guatemala. She was a social worker over here, and she now goes and works with abused children and helping them overcome their trauma in Guatemala. She left this country in her late 20s with the desires of most people in their late 20s, that she'd like to get married, have children, do all those sorts of things, and suddenly laying it down to go to the other side of the world. But God is kind, and she starts to go and learn Spanish, which she thought would have been, you know, quite useful being over there. And as she starts to have her Spanish lessons and gets to know someone from the local church, she manages to find someone who she falls in love with. And yesterday, we got to be there at her wedding, and now they get to serve God together. And one thing I love about my friend, she's called Kate, is every time I see her, since she's, I mean, a lot throughout her life, but particularly since she's been involved in the mission field, is she is fully alive. She is fully alive. Yes, yesterday at her wedding, of course you're going to expect some of that. But more than that, she has found something which brings her life purpose, brings her life hope, and she is a joy to be around. Saint Irenaeus said, "The glory of God is a human fully alive." And we know that, don't we? When we're with people who just have something of life about them. Do we feel fully alive? Honestly, it's the school holidays, we probably feel fully tired. But as their empty tomb reminds us, Jesus rising from the dead gives us new life. The good news of Christianity is not that Jesus lived a good life and then he died, but that he died and now he lives, and therefore we can have new life. The communion liturgy, which we'll look at later, has a wonderful line in it. May we who drink Christ's body live his risen life. And that's what the resurrection gives us, an opportunity to not just live, but to be fully alive. Jesus said that he came that we could have life in all its fullness. New life, life to the full, a life with meaning and purpose where we can get the best out of life. Now, by being fully alive, I don't mean like a hassle-free kind of life, a Mary Poppins kind of experience, kind of floating on air, singing lots of songs. I mean more of a kind of Bear Grylls kind of experience, an adventure, but not always a smooth ride. The context for today's passage is that we pick up the Easter story after the resurrection, and Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene. Peter and John knew that the tomb was empty, and they were hiding with the disciples. They were in the upper room, and they were undercover. They were hiding from the Jews because they were scared. The Jews had killed Jesus, and now they were worried that the Jews were going to come and kill them as well. So they were together, apart from Thomas. The door was locked. And in that place, Jesus comes and stands among them. He shows them his hands. He shows them his feet. And he breathes on them so they can receive the Holy Spirit. Then, as Thomas was not with the disciples, he didn't believe this. He wanted to see it for himself. And a week goes by, and Jesus appears to Thomas, and Thomas also believes. But more than just believing, for Thomas and for the other disciples, they get a new life. If we think Christianity is just about believing in God, then we've been sold a little bit of a duff deal, because it's much better than that. It's about God also believing in us, enabling us to have a new life, us to have a fresh start, us to have an adventure. God thinks we can live lives that make a real difference in the world, in the way that the disciples made a real difference in the world. If you think Christianity is about just doing good things, being nice, having good morals, we've been sold a little bit short. Christianity isn't boring or dry. It's about a relationship with the creator of the universe, a God who wants to be known by us and gives us an adventure. So how do we go about that? Well, let's work through what happened when Jesus appeared to the disciples. Firstly, Jesus came through the closed door. It says, when the disciples were together, with the door locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them. As they were scared in the upper room and the door was locked, Jesus comes and stands among them. Now, what we don't know is how he got in, because the door was locked. So, did he just appear? There's different theories on that. We don't know that. But what we do know is that this is the first thing after the resurrection that begins their new life of purpose. Now, for us this morning, we're unlikely to be hiding away in the locked room, frightened for our lives. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't be here. But for most of us, if we're honest, we do have locked rooms in our lives. A place where the door is closed or only open ajar. Things we're hiding from, things we're avoiding, things that we are scared of. As today's collect or prayer for today says, open the doors of our hearts. I think it's easy, and I imagine a lot of us can relate to this, to have areas of our lives where we have a door that's closed to Jesus, where we struggle to let him in. Maybe we're scared of what would happen if we did. We might not want him to be part of an area of our lives because it could be costly. And over the years, for myself, in my journey of faith, I've definitely had parts of my life in this category. I don't really want to open the door to how I spend my money or my relationships or who I need to forgive. But gradually, God, in his kindness, has helped me to open the door and to let him in. And every time, I experience new life, a fresh start, and a better future. I suppose in another way you could see it. Over the years, I've tried a number of different diets. Fad diets, sensible, healthy eating, that kind of thing. And my experience is actually total common sense. The times I've followed them, they have worked. The times when I've not followed them, and had, you know, the cheeky chocolate bar, the odd Friday night takeaway, that kind of thing, they've not gone so well. The times I've said, I know I'm on a diet, but it is the weekend, or I've had a busy day, or I've had no time to cook. The results have not been as strong in the times that I've not said that. Similarly, the times that I've held back from God and said areas of my life are a no-go. Who's missed out, do you think? It's been me. But when I've allowed God to teach me how to use my money, my time, my relationships, I have always been richer for it. And I think people around me have too. And for some of us this morning, God may want to highlight to us or remind us of a door or an area which we're struggling to open. And I encourage us, and I encourage myself, to ask God, whether it's conscious or subconscious, that we will have the courage to open those doors to him. So that's the first thing. Secondly, they had to trust and they had to believe Jesus. It says in the passage, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. When the disciples saw Jesus and they saw his wounds, it was reassuring because they knew he wasn't a ghost. If we think about it, they're locked in this room and suddenly Jesus appears and the door is locked. You think, hang on a minute, he died a few days ago. There would be questions going on in your mind. So he's like, no, it's me. Look, see my hands, see my feet. Then the disciples believed, they trusted him, and they were overjoyed. Later we read that Thomas said he would not believe until he saw the wounds. And I think he gets a bit of a bad press for that. But actually, he was just asking to see what all the other disciples had already seen a week earlier. But what's interesting is the last words of the gospel reading today, which give us a purpose for the context of John. It says, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. These things are written that we may believe. Because actually, believing can be really difficult. Faith can sometimes be a battle. As the man in Mark 9 said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And studies have shown that it often takes years for people to journey to faith. I'm sure if I was to ask a show of hands today, and I won't, for those who actually, their journey to faith took a bit of time, took a number of years, a number of conversations, I would imagine that there'd be a number of us in this room that would be the case for. I heard a statistic a number of years ago, and it's probably higher now, that on average, people had to hear the gospel or the message of Christianity explained to them 7 times before they would make a decision to know if it was right for them or they wanted to know more. But what we see from Thomas is having a wobble or needing proof doesn't disqualify us. Because as legend goes with Thomas, what happened is afterwards he went on to share his faith and went as far east as India, telling people about Jesus. So the initial wobble didn't change what the potential that God could use in him. Next we see they're filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, and with that he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is often called the Johannine Pentecost. The disciples receive the Spirit and are equipped to do the work that God has called them to. In life, we can tell if someone is alive if they are breathing, as breath is essential for life. And God's breath is essential for new life. God's breath has always brought life. If we think back to Adam and Eve in creation, God breathes in them and they become alive. In Ezekiel 37, in the valley of the dry bones, the Spirit of God breathes life. And now Jesus breathes on the disciples. As Rosalind Brown, the theologian, says, and she's also a clergy, once God breathed into lifeless bodies, and now Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit into the life of the disciples. God's breath brings life. When we had the amazing celebration for the confirmations a couple of weeks ago, and you might remember if you were here, but the bishop came forward to confirm the candidates with the Holy Spirit. He put his hands on them, and that's what he prayed for them. As the Holy Spirit helps us to live a Christian life and equips us in serving God. And a few years ago, I went on a diocese course called Engaging with Confirmation. And what was really striking, I don't remember loads about the day, but I remember this. And that was that it was full of clergy in the room. And a number of them said, I felt my call to ordination at my confirmation. And that makes total sense. At the moment they receive God's Spirit, he sends them out in the purpose that he has called them to do. Now, we don't have to be confirmed to receive the Holy Spirit, so we can pray for that ourselves. But what we do know is that as we receive it, it brings new life. Then finally, they had to go and continue his ministry. The Bible says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Jesus didn't just come up to the upper room that day to the scared disciples to prove who he was or to reassure them, although it did do both of those things. But he came to prepare them to continue his ministry and to send them out. God sent Jesus, and Jesus sends us. Jesus believes we can do what he did. He equips us with the Holy Spirit so we don't have to do it alone. And we'll look at that more in Pentecost in a few weeks. And then we see in the Acts passage the continuation of Jesus, of this ministry that Jesus has set the disciples on. They spent time together, they were focusing on the Word of God, looking out for each other. And as John Calvin says about this passage, we must have hearts that are harder than iron if we're not moved by the reading of this narrative, as they sold their possessions to look out for each other, to care for each other. As Jesus' resurrection is not just about new life for him, it is about new life for us. In many ways, we as a church are in a similar situation to the disciples in that place between the resurrection and Pentecost. They were waiting for the next thing, waiting for what was going to happen. And we're in a waiting time, aren't we? We're waiting for Jenny, waiting for her to come and to lead us. I know Jenny well, and she is brilliant, and she's exactly the person for us on this next stage. And the next stage could be an adventure. And like all adventures, it could be life-bringing. As I was preparing for today, I felt God say that as well as for us praying for Jenny and that God prepares her and Finn and both of their children to come and be here with us, I think God's actually preparing us as well. For some of us, and I think that's a number of us, I think God is starting to stir something in us that he's calling us to do. Something that maybe is a new adventure or new life. So in this time of preparation, it is not just about Jenny's preparation, but it's also about our own. Tonight we have a prayer meeting here at 6:30, which the young people are leading. In that process of beginning us to prepare for Jenny to come, to prepare for us as a church, but also for what God has got for all of us on the next stage. So if you're around at half six tonight, I really encourage you to come and be part of that. But what can we learn from the steps of the disciples? Firstly, to open our hearts and lives to God. Ask him to reveal areas of our lives which we may not be as open to him as we need to be for the next steps that he's calling us to. Secondly, to take a journey of trust and deeper faith. Thirdly, to allow him to fill us with his Spirit. And fourthly, to hear his call and to be involved with his mission and be willing to step out. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we are Easter people. We are people of your resurrection. We thank you that just as you rose from the dead and experienced new life yourself, we can experience new life in you. Lord, for some of us, we may have first experienced that new life many years ago. But Lord, I thank you the adventure never ends and there's always a new chapter. For some of us, we may not have experienced that yet and are still wondering about it. And Lord, we pray that you will reveal to us the next step. Lord, where we struggle to keep doors closed or we struggle with unbelief, we ask that you will come and meet us like Jesus met the disciples in the upper room. And Lord, I pray that you will equip us for the journey ahead. As you prepare Jenny, I pray you will prepare us as well. In your name, amen.